Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I still haven't landed on something other than, and it's such a habit of saying welcome back. So just trying to be a gracious host, but I'm also trying to be a motivator. Somebody has to be bold. Somebody has to be in your face. Somebody has to put their hands firmly in the middle of your back, pushing you. Because I understand how hard it is for people to actually focus, because we're all suffering from, like, we all have ADD or something, and not being disparaging towards those who do, but it just seems like we constantly get distracted. Our life, in some ways, is like a computer processor. It's always on auto interrupt. It's constantly being interrupted from rest. And I know most people, based on as we see people in the world today, at least most Americans want to be resting. Why do you think we have an obesity problem? Why do you think we have, and I know there's other extenuating factors such as the pharmaceutical food companies and those types of entities out there actually feeding the beast, literally, in trying to do everything they can to get you into their process. In other words, if you look at the way food was grown, produced, and sold back in the 40s and the 50s, it wasn't until television and advertising where they started realizing they could actually start really pumping people into, or pushing people into, these different food products. Oh, you never heard of it? Well, give it a try. Try this. Anyway, the reality was that over time, pharmaceutical companies recognized when the government and insurances, when the government basically injected itself into the healthcare system in the early 50s, and then when Johnson actually stepped into it further by actually, you know, creating government regulations and putting more teeth to the Department of Health, we start seeing how, you know, these maniacal pharmacists, or I should say pharmaceutical companies, were looking at how they could increase their profits. Now, when you look at tobacco manufacturers, when you look at alcohol manufacturers, some people say, well, you know, that's the dark evil in our society. Well, actually, I'm going to tell you something. The alliance between the food manufacturer and the pharmaceutical, and sometimes, if you go all the way up, they're owned by the same company, same people. And what they're doing is they're basically using food to drive you into their profit base, which is the pharmaceuticals. Why do you think so many people have type 2 diabetes? Is because they stopped using sugar in the late 60s, early 70s in most sodas, drinks, and other products, and started using high fructose corn syrup. It was a little bit sweeter. Actually, it may have cost a little bit more in the process, but they actually got their prices down on that very quickly. And they were able to start producing high fructose corn syrup, where everybody just, you know, it was just so much cheaper than going with, you know, harvesting cane and all of that. So it's, the interesting thing is that it actually was the beginning. It opened the door for type 2 diabetes problems to actually, I'll just say, ravage our society. Why do you think so many kids, you know, before they even graduate from high school, they're already being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes? Because they've been pumping high fructose corn syrup into them and into all aspects of their diet, from their ketchup, the sodas, everything. So you can't tell me that we don't need pushing, because we've been pushed by them for a long time. We've been pushed into their products. We've been pushed into their processes. We need to be pushed to get out of all of this, folks. So, again, it's a standing request, a standing conversation with you. What would be the best way to, instead of saying welcome back, are you ready to report? Maybe that's a good one. Are you, or just actually what we do in formations and so forth, we just yell report. And so maybe that's what I should do, is just yell report. And then each, platoon or platoon commander would basically report that their platoon is ready and go down the line. I mean, are you ready for that? That's where we need to be pushing. That's where we need to be. So again, I'm not really trying to just motivate you. Motivating you is really convincing you. I honestly believe Biden has convinced almost everybody. I think anybody that has not been convinced by Biden and what the heck has happened to our liberties, what the heck is happening to our country, anybody that thinks, oh, well, Trump's going to save us, you know what? I don't condone, and I'm not actually telling you to be violent, but you need to shake that grape. And when I say grape, that means that their noggin, their head. You need to shake that grape and get that person to wake up to reality. There is no turning back. Very soon, we have to get engaged. You actually have to have a conversation. You have to send an email. If you want to include your representatives on my constitutional minutes that will start in January, because that's when the majority of all legislatures are in session, I will start sending it to the majority of all. I mean, I just need your help. I can't go through and update the email services for all of these, people out there that are, coming and going and so forth. So my request, my question and my desire is, can you help? Can you get me the email to your state legislator? Can you help me identify, what exactly their email nomenclature is for your House and your Senate? If you can do that, if you can actually give that to me, give it to me in a text document. That would be the best way. The less stuff I have to strip out, and it's pretty easy to edit in a text editor. We can use VI if we want, or what have you. But anywho, what we want to do is we want to move forward into the campaign, and this is what we're going to be covering this coming year. I'm actually going to be taking topics from the top, and I'm going to be drilling and working down. And so what we've kind of covered already, and let me see here. How far are we on this? I think we're halfway. Let me see. There it is right there, the ominous red. And the ominous red is on page 3 of 9 pages. Now, this is just the beginning, because there's lots of one-liners in here that actually have to have a little bit more context, more expansion, as I've read through some of the one-liners. And we'll go through this, and we're going to publish this so that everybody understands what the process is, or what are all the things that, when we talk about definitizing the Constitution and how the states have to do this, this is how you want it done. If you want your private property protected, if you want your life protected, you are going to want to have them definitize the Constitution and address every single one of these issues. So let's move on to, this show is also sponsored by republicreview.org, and this is the only show that goes through the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Don't forget, we're on Rumble, and so next week we're going to be actually going through this exact same list. If you missed it, it'll be video. If you want to have dynamic questions with the host, David Torres, by all means, we will be there. I will be there. Thank you so much. Anywho, Fortitude Financial Coaching. If you need financial help, financial advice, financial coaching, contact Gary Smith with Fortitude Financial Coaching. He will help you. And I'm hoping soon he's going to say, hey, GR, I need you to, not advertise so much. I'm kind of getting that from Timber Nation. I really appreciate those of you who recognize, let me look at this alternative furniture, the furnishings, what have you. And so anyway, same thing with getting control of your life. I don't know very many people that say, I have absolute control over my finances. because I don't know, I don't even have absolute control. If you're married, nobody has, anybody that's married really doesn't have absolute control. There may be a point in time somebody has to spend something that wasn't, you know, on the budget, or it may happen all the time. So anyway, free constitutional classes for you, your kids, and so forth at constitutioneducation.us. And as I've already mentioned, Timber Nation for hard American hardwood. Ask them to do hickory if you want hickory. Hickory is very hardwood. They will probably charge you more because they'll have to probably replace their blades and so forth, and drill bits, because it is that hard of wood. I've actually worked with it a little bit. It is hard. And so, you know, they're more than happy to do hickory. It's just that, you know, you'll have to give them a bid or what have, exactly what you want. And this is where you get into staining and all of that. They'll stain it any way you want it. So give them a look, and hopefully you're not in a rush for Christmas, because there's just no way. But you need to start getting into the queue. And people, we're looking to buy a fridge and a freezer, and it looks like it's going to take us months to be able to get a fridge and a freezer. So anybody out there that is, you know, at the cusp of saying, you know, I think we need to replace our fridge or our freezer, and actually we're going to repair both our fridge and freezer in addition to getting new ones, but I would highly recommend you start putting it in the queue to actually get it, because it may take months for you to get, because that's what we're looking at. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so wrapping it up, RadioDustCovers.com for, you know, a great stocking stuffer. It may be a little late, because all of these companies are actual people that do not have these huge orders from China stuck out on, you know, some ship in China, you know, from China with a container out in the Pacific or out in the Atlantic. All of this is right here in America. AdLocal, Radio Dust Covers, Timber Nation. Now, if you've got a business, you're a patriot, and you've got a business, and it's something that, you know, you want to talk to me about it, and I can look at it. I don't mind doing advertisements for patriots. I do not mind doing it, or actual endorsements. And I'm not even looking for anything free. You know, To get a Glenn Beck endorsement, we're talking hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million, for him to endorse your product. And it could be just some crappy product like, you know, Ring or Simply Safe or what have you, for him to do those types of endorsements. And I'm going, okay, but if you're an honest, hardworking Joe that's actually got a decent product out there, and there's something that, you know, I'd be willing to buy or what, by all means, we're okay with plugging Patriots. Anywho, and I don't go into this a lot. I don't spend a lot of time because it's more about the content. And sometimes the obligatories and the monologues take me away from that. So let me move forward. Again, you already know we have a contact phone number, 425-270-5416. Anytime you want to call, 425-270-5416. 24/7, 365, does not matter. That is our comment line. Anyway, we're back into definitizing the Constitution, and we're back into actually covering, I believe, the issues that when we start talking about these things, you're going to go, what, that's so important. We already talked about moving us to a cashless society. That cannot happen. That absolutely cannot happen. Anybody, any state legislator, any person in government that says, yeah, we need to do this, they have to be arrested because they are violating their oath of office in supporting the Constitution. To change our monetary system requires an amendment to the Constitution, period. So here's the question, because this kind of tips off the issue we're covering. Where in the Constitution does the general government have the authority of who can own property within a state? We've talked about this somewhat. You've heard me bring this up. No foreign entity or corporation can own any property within the state. And as far as the federal government is concerned, their responsibility is to protect the general welfare and defense, allowing America to be bought up. Just to think, oh, well, you know, China only has 8% of American businesses and land. That's still 8% that they shouldn't have at all, because the federal government has no power to allow it to happen. And the states have no authority to allow it to happen. It's not within their constitutions either. They just assumed, oh, well, yeah, we'll be able to do this. Folks, it's time to wake up. They've been selling us downriver, and they're selling you into slavery. So they don't have the authority to facilitate the selling of any property within the boundaries of any state or even a territory. Everything that is marked as a part of U.S. property is to be protected from foreign entities, period. It's like I mentioned, it's one thing if a person happens to be an immigrant moving here and they have money, and in their immigration process, they, you know, purchase land. Now, if they choose to not finish and complete the immigration process, that land actually should be taken back. They can't hold land until, you know, they can, you know, it's in good faith that we allow them to purchase the land. But they lose, the risk is, if they don't become a citizen, then which means that they have to fully naturalize. It means that they have to go and take the oath. They have to take the citizen's test, all of that. And if they don't do that, then they have a risk of losing that land. And so we actually have to start standing up for our property rights, folks. I mean, this is fundamental property rights. All property rights of the citizens, all property rights of the citizens must be protected. Citizens cannot legally, now this is what I've talked about before, and I'm actually going to record, hopefully over the next couple of weeks, I want to record one of these title theft commercials for you so that you can hear how an insurance company, because see, if all of a sudden somebody out there, maybe working with government, is working to steal your property, and the insurance company is actually paying these, you know, like title theft or whoever's behind some of these insurances, is actually going to government saying, you know, well, we need you to, you know, continue to allow this kind of stuff to happen. Are you kidding me? How in the world can you lose your property to somebody that came, with fraud? Somebody fraudulently forged papers, fraudulently worked it through the banking system, took out loans, and now the bank can steal your property? Are you kidding? As a matter of fact, any bank, anybody that is in the process of basically seizing property from you, they should be charged with theft. They have to prove you legitimately, you know, gave somebody all that information so that they could defraud the banks, government, or what have you. Because bottom line, I don't know one person, I don't know anybody that posts their title out online. I don't know anybody that basically posts their financial documents online. But we do know that a lot of these institutions have been hacked and all these documents have been stolen. Is it a coincidence? And I do know that it seems like when it comes to actually doing things for the people, it seems like our legislators are actually working against us and working for the corporations, working for these criminals that are out to raise their bottom line. Now, I understand it's good to have a company that's focused on profits and making good money, but they have to be doing it honestly. Title theft, as you know, is being used to take away the property from the rightful owner and legal owners unless there is any direct evidence that the homeowner is assisted or was involved in any way in supporting the theft or fraud and was responsible for granting access to the info used to stealing the property. I mean, they actually have to, you know, be engaged in assisting. If they're just completely, you know, living life and oblivious to what the heck's going on, and a bank is coming and saying, we're foreclosing on you, that bank or whoever that is needs to be arrested because they're duplicit in the fraud. They should have had full history of that title. They should have done all the due diligence to ensure, you know, you want to bring interest rates down, stop all of these loans. First off, stop insuring these loans so that the federal government or nobody out there is going to, because they don't even have the constitutional power to do that. If all of a sudden a bank realizes that they could lose that money, they don't have any insurance or no safety nets to bail them out, they're going to start doing the due diligence. See, this is what we've happened. This is what we have done to ourselves by creating this this entitlement society and enabling this behavior. If that makes sense. Because bottom line, we wouldn't be in this position if we didn't have safety nets for everything and everybody. You know, I got a lot of trigger words, right? And one of the trigger words I have is bailing out the airline industry, bailing out the Amtrak. I mean, folks, what we need to do, if airline industries cannot survive, then they need to go bankrupt and somebody else needs to come in and operate them, period. Period. That's what has to happen. I don't care if pilots, stewardesses, mechanics, and everybody else loses their pension or what have you. Either you operate a business legitimately and you deal with it and you lay people off, you cut back flights, nobody's going anywhere, or we have to decide how we're going to make these things public. Like states owning them, because clearly the federal government has no constitutional authority to own anything like that. No corporations, none, not even their own. And so, okay, now what do we do? It's pretty easy, folks. I think it's self-explanatory. We have to start letting these guys go bankrupt. And those who keep a clean house and those who, you know, maintain, you know, a profit margin or at least always stay on top of it. I mean, if you work for a defense contractor, why is it defense contractors, you know, for the most part, really don't get bailed out? They don't have those kinds of problems. Because as soon as business, as soon as the flow of money stops, then they start cutting ties. They lay people off. They even shut down offices. They completely shut down an office, and they'll even sell it if they have to, because their job is to stay afloat and to, you know, maintain value for their stockholder. Why is it that the airline industry is constantly out there overextending itself and, you know, taking on more routes and operating in the red? Because they have been bailed out by the government so many times that they're enabled into thinking that they can do this. This is what we've been doing in creating entitlements for all. The federal government cannot print money to do these things. They have no authority to do these things. We have to start protecting our private property. And that means that we have to actually accept the fact that there is no insurance. There is no underwriting of businesses failing. We'll be right back after these two promos.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Well, so one of the other things we want to talk about, property, and I've railed on this before, the moral turpitude that we've developed as a society. How is it right that we allow theft of property by government because you can't pay your taxes on it? What? They're supposed to be protecting personal property. They're not supposed to be taking your ownership. The question is that your property or not? And so how is it the government has been able to basically take this full ownership, right? I mean, if they can tax your property because they believe they're the ultimate owners, then if something happens on that property, if something happens to that property, shouldn't we be able to sue the government? Fact is, we have to completely reevaluate what we want to tax and how we want to tax. Government has gotten way too big in providing way too much. And this is where we have to move to churches, to where we actually move our compassionate services over to churches. Education, healthcare, all of those things have to go back to churches or community centers. You know, anybody that has any approbation, you can't do that. Think about this. Everybody who's godless,
everybody who is an atheist, everybody who basically has turned their backs on our Creator, well, then what are they to do? Well, they're going to have to create their own entitlement church so that they can continue giving people free money for nothing, because it's not the government's job. It is not the government's job to, you know, to keep these people alive. And so if we have to go down that path, that's what we'll have to do, folks. Now, if we look at 50%, or there's a good percentage of people that are, I would say, really atheist or godless. And all of a sudden, if we went down that path of education, if we went down that path of healthcare and everything else, that the state governments actually said, you know, churches, we're going to have you do this again. It'll be cheaper for you to do it. You already have the buildings. We're not going to be paying for all of this. And it's in the interest of the parents to basically make sure that your kids are getting, you know, the, if you want to call it, the morality associated to your family, your culture, and so forth. And so moving things away from government and its godlessness would be the best thing. And everybody's starting to recognize that getting people or getting their kids into homeschooling, you know, like that's the solution. No, it's only, it's just, it only solves one hangnail. That's all it solves. But it's a big hangnail, because education is actually the engine that is driving this nation off the edge, because it's our illiteracy on the Constitution, so our illiteracy on all of these things. But back to property and property taxes, it is absolutely immoral. States have to start passing laws that say, we cannot and will never take your property if you can't pay the taxes. And what they'll do is what they should bring in a way leader, you know, whatever your faith is, to basically step in, you know, as a mediator to say, these people cannot pay. They just cannot pay. It's not government's job to put on the, you know, the jack boots and be able to actually put their heels on your neck and say, either pay us or suffer. That, my friends, those types of laws are violations of the Constitution. That's why we started talking earlier about bills of attainder and bills of punishment. So let's move on. Business owners who operate their businesses in an area of election where they do not reside should be able to vote on all measures that affect the operations of their business, i.e. infrastructure changes, you know, water, gas, property taxes, etc. Not only should the businesses, let's say you have people that actually, so when you look at a lot of the development of America, you'll see that there are suburbs where people live in one county and they drive into another county where these taxes are going up and up and up and driving people out of that county into this other county. And they're also destroying businesses. Well, I believe when it comes to property tax, if you work for that business and that bill, that legislative, you know, levy or anything that is going to affect your business and you don't live there, you should be able to vote to protect your livelihood, period. You should be able to vote where you reside, and you should be able to vote where you work on those issues. Now, I'm not talking about voting for representation. You only get one representative. But I want you to start understanding that if one vote against one vote cancels everything out and everything is equal, well, things aren't equal, because people who own no property and people who have no job will continually cancel out the little vote you get in the where you live. And as they drive you out, they will seize control by implementing higher and higher taxes to give them more and more entitlements. The way you solve that is you actually get people that are actually producers that are working in that county to be able to protect their property rights and being able to work. If these people want to attack, and as a matter of fact, I have a problem with anybody being able to vote on any property issues that own no property, or they're not a part of that business to protect that business. Does that make sense? In other words, you're living out on the street and you want to get engaged in every aspect of the election process? I'm sorry, it's one thing to vote for your representative. It's another thing to engage in the complexity of government, because the complexity of government has the ability to destroy businesses, the ability to destroy property. I mean, and we're talking swaths. I mean, how many cities have you seen that have this rampant, you know, decay or what they call blight? Because they've constantly created more and more taxes. You know, another thing they like doing is creating rent controls and those types of things, all helping the little guy. Well, fact of the matter is that we are removing the ability of property owners to protect their property. And I honestly would love to see, you know, people actually having that honest conversation to say, how is it that you can buy property? Why is it in America, where property is supposed to be protected, where a person that owns a property or actually has stake in that property as an employee, because that's their job, their livelihood, why is it that they can't protect that business and that property from unreasonable taxes? This is where government has to actually start looking and saying, we have to be reasonable. We don't have business getting involved in all of these things of social engineering and so forth. We do have, and it is important that we provide good roads and good infrastructure so that our people, our citizens, can be productive. But we don't want to pay people for not being productive. That is antithetical to society. That's what churches are for. And we want to make sure the churches are enabled to help as much as they possibly can. Anyway, that's how it was. That's how it was in the beginning. You know, every state was paying taxes to the state-sponsored churches, folks. The Anglican Church of Virginia was receiving tax money from the state of Virginia in 1790 when, you know, they were well within the constitutional operations of this republic. Don't tell me that the churches can't have a relationship and actually receive money from the state. They did, under the Constitution. So anyway, farm and agricultural ownership. Let's get into this property. Farm or agricultural ownership cannot be purchased for abandonment. Anybody that buys it and says, we're not going to be doing it, it's one thing for them to present a plan. And that means that they're spending money in doing lots of things to convert that land into something. But states have to look at land and resources as a mechanism of commerce. You know, you grow crops, you sell those crops, the state makes some money off the sale of those crops. You grow trees and you sell lumber, the state makes some money off of the sale of that lumber. But when you buy land and you abandon it, you have just created economic warfare against the states and the occupants of that state. So when all of these people are buying land for abandonment, how is that within the Constitution where, you know, the states actually have to take this type of hostility? What has to happen is the states actually have to start regulating land so that they can actually ensure that there are no hostile actors, whether they be foreign or non-resident. They can't be coming in. And as a matter of fact, foreign actors or corporate farming, they have to look at them and the states have to really start tightly regulating corporate farming, because many corporate farms are farmers and farming. What they're doing is they're getting subsidized. In other words, they're getting paid to not do anything and the state gets no money of that. None of it. Or if they do, it's pennies compared to what they would have gotten from a productive state. So these are fundamental issues regarding just property. So what we want to do is we want to move off of property. We want to get into republican form of government and some other things, because we've got other things to come up with. So All of these issues, again, are a part of canonizing the Constitution or definitizing our constitutional rights. We'll be right back after these two promos.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as we move forward, putting property rights behind us, let's just talk a little bit about a republican form of government. Representation of the sovereigns is not simply the people. In a republican form of government, we have to recognize sovereignty and regard. So it's a government, right? A republican form of government, which means a government has to at least recognize itself and those sovereigns. Now, there's a lot of people out there that do not like the idea of corporations and or businesses and how they become sovereigns. Now, let's be clear. A business is not an enemy. It's not your enemy. It is not the enemy of America. Only when the business chooses to create protections or asks and pays government to protect it and create regulations from competitors and those types of things, that's when business crosses the line in actually becoming a participant in economic warfare within your state or within your government. Now, sovereignty recognizes, at least in our republican form of government, it recognizes two forms of sovereignty. It recognizes actually that the people are the sovereigns, that they have the ultimate check on our sovereigns. And when I say our sovereigns, the framers referred to our representatives as our sovereigns because they were the ones that had the power to make laws under those powers that we delegated. You cannot tell me that the House of Representatives are not sovereigns when they can declare war and send, Johnny and Sally out to be killed. That is an ultimate sovereign. And our check on them is to vote them out after 2 years. Our check should be that we do the due diligence to ensure that our representation does not callously look at what's going on in the world to say, you know what? We've got some businesses that really need to sell some war fighting equipment, and we need to get engaged in a war. Don't think that that hasn't happened. When we started looking at communism And the growth of communism and the domino theory, there was actually reality to the domino theory. But we fed that. And if you really start looking at how it started laying out when Russia and China, you know, China went into Korea. We had the Korean War. Russia started going into, and China started going into, you know, Asia and other places. So we were dealing with their infiltration of these other places. Now, what we started doing was we actually started caving to Russia and so forth. I mean, we could have created, we had people, speaking of policies, that would have actually moved us away from all of that. But the fact of the matter is, when we actually look at a Republican form of government, getting back to that, I don't want to go further down that rat hole, we actually do have sovereigns that are government, which is why the Senate exists in representing that subdivision of the nation, which are the states. And within the states, there's a subdivision, and the Senate in each state is supposed to represent the counties, or I should say the county legislators, your county commissioners. That's exactly how they did it when they started rewriting the state constitutions to model after the U.S. Constitution. That is why every state in the union changed, you know, that any state that had a unicameral legislative body changed to a bicameral legislative body. The problem is nobody's been teaching this. Everybody's been teaching we the people, you know what? We the people's a democracy. We the, even if we're voting for our representative, it is a democracy, not a a true Republican form of government. The Enlightenment that occurred during that 1787 Constitutional Convention when Sherman, Roger Sherman, basically presented to the convention this new concept of having a body of government, of legislators, of sovereigns who can create law. A body of them representing that sub-element of government beneath them, which in that case was the states. This was so brilliant that this was actually embraced by every state. And then all of a sudden, everybody started, you know, walking away from it or turning their backs towards it. There is no doubt in my mind, the one person who knew the checks within this system and the brilliance of this system, the one person who actually saw this as a threat to their world order was Satan. Because when you don't have checks and balances and you can entice the people and basically move us towards that Titler democracy, because if you ever look at the Titler cycle of democracy, you know, a democracy only lives for 200 years. The only reason we're living as long as we have is because the first so many, you know, decades, they actually followed that constitution. What are we, about 240, 250, somewhere in there? When we look at, you know, where we're going, we were given a system that the Titler democracy could not affect. The only thing that the Titler democracy could affect is a government, is if our government, if IF, India Foxtrot, if our government actually chose not to stay within the, and the people allowed it to go outside of those bounds. The state allowed it. We had all these different checks and balances. This is why this is also important, folks. We got to restore these checks and balances. You have to demand it. You're going to have to give up some of your power of the people. You're going to have to admit and acknowledge the fact that your county governments need more power, and they need to be able to provide those things that we expect them to provide, like, you know, law enforcement, fire, you know, safety, those types of things, roadways. When we start getting into education, that's government really shouldn't be doing that. Government should be allowing compassionate services and those people. See, we socialized education a long, long time ago when everybody says, oh, well, you know, education is in the interest of the public. Absolutely. But it's in the interest of the public on a moral side, not on a government side.
You know, we have to remember government is really, really good, especially American government is good at one thing. That's killing people and fighting. And the other thing is fighting wars. So we don't want government in our classroom because instead of using guns to kill us, they're using our children by weaponizing them with destructive paradigms. You see? You see why we don't want them in there? So getting back to this Republican form of government, we have to actually definitize this and we have to restore this paradigm that we are a government of sovereigns, not just sovereign, the people are sovereign. No, we have two sovereigns. We have our sub-element of government and the people. We have people representation. We have representation of the people at the county level, period. There is no sub-element of government. Now, there used to be a sub-element of government because counties used to have boards of directors where the cities and townships and everything like that actually met as a part of the board of directors. This is where we have to bring in this concept of the unorganized militia. Instead of it being government and instead of it being actually this paid position, become another leech to leech off of the, you know, the workers and so those few that are still providing for the benefits of everybody. What we have to do is we all have to actually suck up. Now, one of the things that came to me is that if you get involved and you're doing public service for the unorganized militia within your county, you should be removed at the end of that year for the following year. If you did a full year of service in the unorganized militia, you should not have to be engaged in or should have to take a jury duty. You should be exempt from jury duty. Now, one of the things that we want to expose you to is as we organize this county moving towards a constitutional county, there's going to be lots of things like committees of service that you're going to actually need to be contributing to, such as media and press committee. In other words, overseeing the local media and the local press, they're going to have to provide copies so that they can be categorized by the county as to whether they're, you know, object, whether they follow the definition of the press or whether they follow the definition of propaganda. Because if they're not providing clearly objective journalism, giving you in one article, giving you both sides of the view and not deducing for you what should happen. In other words, here are the facts. These are the, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm telling you, people, this is why this committee needs to exist, because people actually have to read these articles and say, you know what? This article lends me to believe that it's leaning this way or that way. It shouldn't. It should basically state that somebody died. You want to get into the social aspects of why that person died, then be careful, because there's two sides to the social aspects. It's one thing for journalism to report on the issue, you know, like gun violence, but it's another thing for them not to report on guns safety as you know, like how guns deterred crimes and so forth. And getting into those facts as well, they need to be balanced. And that's what one of those committees will do. But we'll get into that once we're through all of this. We've got so much to cover. Happy Bill of Rights Day. Today it happens to be Bill of Rights Day. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic and we need your help. God bless. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL
or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.